a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder if you know him. My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's a sinner's...
Good morning, Brother Don. Good to see you.
He's unparalleled.
We'll be starting here shortly.
He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He's strengthened and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick.
Amen, brother. Getting fired up. It's good. Me too.
He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He rewards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him, but yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him. When they found out, they couldn't stop him. Find any fault in it. Terror couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah.
Amen. It's good to be here this morning, and this is Pastor Brennan coming to you live from Siloam Springs, Arkansas, with another edition of the Fishers of Men broadcast, and is Jesus Christ your King today? He is my King, and he is my King for all eternity. Amen. And my cat is kind of going nuts a little bit, so I apologize that there's some extracurricular background noise. But it's good to be here this morning. And today, the title of the message is going on the slow lane. And there's something that the Lord has kind of showed me and revealed to me. For many of you that may not know, I do work at AutoZone. I am a hub driver, so that means I deliver car parts to different stores. And something the Lord showed me when I was actually going up to Missouri to make my rounds, and something that I think could be a blessing to you and has some pretty biblical truth in it. Amen. So you keep me in prayer, and we'll be getting into that momentarily. Before we do, I want to get into some prayers and praises. So if you have any prayer requests or praises, you may feel free to share them if you like. Let's see here. We have here, okay, so I'm going to just kind of go through some prayer requests here. We do have a fellow sister in the Lord. Please keep her in prayer for strength There's actually a lot of stuff that she's going through right now again. It just seems like it's a never-ending thing. Found out that her son is actually moving farther away now, which is kind of heartbreaking for her because she wants to be close to her son. And her mother's not doing well. I think if I remember correctly, her mother has dementia. So please keep that sister in prayer. I won't mention a name because she wants me to not mention her name. So just keep her in prayer, okay? I got so much bottles on my desk here. I got to just move them here real quick. I got too much stuff on my desk. It's all cluttered. We have a fellow brother. Please pray for his family and his ex-wife for salvation. Please pray for a fellow sister for salvation for her father. Please keep Brother Joey in prayer. Brother Joey, he is a good friend of mine. He has pain that he experiences every day. And he sort of, you know, he kind of gets discomfort at times, and sometimes that pain flares up worse than some days. So just keep him in prayer. Brother Ryan Payton, he's a good friend of mine from Missouri. And very good friend of mine. He is another preacher on Facebook that he has a ministry to. Please keep him and his family in prayer. Please keep my family in prayer. Please pray for my ministry. Pray that God will grow it and use it for his kingdom, for his glory and honor. Let's see here. And then we have a fellow sister who wants prayer for the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. And then I got a pastor friend of mine. His name is Pastor Ron. He preaches at a church in Fredericktown, Missouri. Please keep him in prayer and his church in prayer and his ministry in prayers. And I think that's going to be about it. So we need to pray for one another. Amen. We all can pray. We all need it. And again, if you have a prayer, a prayer request or a praise, you can feel free to mention it. It's up to you. But anyways, with that said, we're going to go ahead and get started. So, the title of the message is Going on the Slow Lane. And you'll read, and as we go through this message, you'll begin to realize why I titled it that way. Okay? But before we before we kind of get in deep with the word and the message, let's start off with a verse. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 14. Actually, that's the only verse we're going to go to, but we're going to go another places as well. Ephesians 4:14, it says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Okay, so in this passage, I want us to kind of focus on a couple of words, being tossed to and fro, as well as wind. Okay? Now, you might ask yourself, Brandon, how does that even correlate to the title of your message and what you're going to be talking about? How does that even correlate? Well, let me explain. So as I said just a few minutes ago, I am a AutoZoner that works and delivers parts to different stores. And last Saturday I took a round up to Missouri. I took it up to places like Neosho, Joplin, Webb City, Carthage. You know, all of them kind of in the Joplin area. There's like 5 different stores I deliver to so they can get their parts to their customers. Well, something really interesting happened to me on going up there, and I was not anticipating it. And it wasn't just actually going up there. It was also kind of even heading back on my morning route from my morning route too. So Saturday, as probably you know, that there was a lot of wind. Okay, there was the wind was really boisterous. It was huge. Okay, so a person like me, big guy like me, getting into a sizable van, right, with parts in the back. you can only imagine what a boisterous wind is going to do to a sizable van with parts in the back when going at the speed limit. You know what I'm saying? That thing was shaking, and I could feel it's shaking. I can kind of feel like kind of turning back, like as if I was kind of, you know, and almost kind of being tossed to and fro, right? Well, what happened was, is I had to cut back my speed to make sure that I would stay my course, stay in my lane, my course. I had to go slower. Okay, I had to go slower. And usually, typically, slower traffic goes into the right lane, right? So I had to go into the slow lane. And in order for me to kind of stay my course and to be able to, you know, to continue forward and to push forward, I had to reduce my speed by quite a bit. At least by 20 miles an hour lower than what the posted speed limit it was. So, for example, say if it was like 70, which that's what it was, I myself couldn't go any higher than 55. So, I had to cut back my speed to ensure that I would be able to get to my destinations safely. Okay? Now you might be asking, well, What does that have to do with anything? Okay. Well, let me tell you something. I think a lot of times in our walk, we as Christians, even born again Christians, we want things now, and we want things done now, and we're fast people. We live in a fast-paced environment, and we're fast people. If you don't believe me, if you go out on the freeway and you take a look at, you will see people going probably faster than the speed limit. I mean, really faster than the speed limit. We are fast people. Okay? But let me tell you something. Bible Christianity is not always fast. As a matter of fact, and I might be wrong on this, but it's probably more slow and steady than it is fast and rushing. Now, there are times where sometimes God will answer prayer immediately. I'm not disregarding that. I'm not disregarding that sometimes, once in a while, we'll get things quick. But that does not happen every time. Okay? That doesn't happen every time. Now, when you take a look at what I just told you, okay, and you correlate it to our walk, okay? Sometimes, and a lot of times, when we ask for prayer, or when we want something, sometimes we have to wait. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to the winds of life, the storms of life, and the winds of life, okay, sometimes we have to just, get, instead of going the normal speed, sometimes we have to just get over and slow ourselves a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes, when we tend to want to get things done now and fast, and we want things now. But when the storms of life hit, and sometimes, when we get discouraged, sometimes we just need to kind of pull over a little bit to the other lane and slow down. Because if we don't do that and we continue the speed that we're at, and we continue, and we have all these different things hitting us, all these false doctrines and all these persecutions and tribulations that we go through, if we're not careful, and if we don't let up a bit, all that wind is what that's going to do is that's going to toss us to and fro in different lanes in which we can hurt ourselves and we can hurt other believers or other people. Okay? And sometimes it's just best that, and not just sometimes, but, in situations like that, it's just best that we get over and we lower our speed and just let God. Amen? We just need to let God. In other words, we just need to trust God that, that He'll get us through it safely. Amen? And sometimes I think that's a challenge for us. Okay? Now, as per prayer and stuff, we can't always expect for God to, hang on a second. Timing. We can't always expect God to answer. Sometimes we really can't be expecting God to answer us back the way that we want Him to. Because if we do, then what we're doing is we're putting God in a box. Okay, saying that I want my prayer answered now and not tomorrow. Well, that's just putting God in the box. And we have to realize that it's not our timing. There's always a purpose and plan for things, and we always have to lean on God's timing, because God's timing of things is perfect versus our timing is not as perfect. It's not perfect at all. We think that we need something at a certain point, but God sees when God looks at it, he might take a look and say, well, you don't need that now. You might need it here, but not at the moment. So sometimes when we have a delay, sometimes when we feel that God's not answering our prayers right away, it's either because it's not that timing for it, or God has something better for us, if that makes sense. And so sometimes when we get caught up in the storms of life, and when we get caught up with the winds of life, sometimes it's really just best to move over and just go slower and let God lead you through it. Amen? Because it doesn't do any good for us to be leading ourselves into something that our circumstances we can't control. So if we can't control it, then really it's really in our best interest to move over and slow down a little bit and rely on God. Amen. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be going through scripture on relying on God, letting him lead and relying on Him and His timing. Because when the winds pick up and when the storm comes, we can't control the storm. we're human. Okay? God can control it, but we can't. So, sometimes we just need to step back and rely on Him, and only Him that we need to rely on to help us get through our situations. Amen. And this is something that the Lord was showing me when I was making my rounds, because the wind was picking up and I knew I was going to be late. Excuse me, I'm going to drink some water here. My throat is a little dry. And that's kind of what the Lord... Okay, so anyway, so when I was making my rounds, you had all this wind coming at me. And literally, when I was at a dead stop at a stoplight, my van was shaking. Okay, that's how boisterous... the wind was. Okay? Now, what I felt like the Lord was showing me was, I can't control the wind. I need to get into the right lane, slow my speed down, and trust that God is going to get me to my places of destination. safely, even if it meant at the cost that I was going to be late, it would be better to be safe than to go the speed limit, be tossed to and fro, and get into an accident. And sometimes I think that because we're so fast-paced minded, I sometimes think we just need to pull back and sit at the feet of Christ. And rest in Him and let Him control. Because I'm going to tell you something. We can't control our circumstances. Okay? We're not little gods. We're humans. With a sinful nature and with a wicked and rotten flesh. That wants to do whatever it wants. Amen? So, we're going to be talking. So, let's get into some scripture about relying on God. Now, let's see here. Trust. Here we go. We're going to be talking. This is a message about trusting in God. Okay, so in 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 3, it says, "The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge. My Savior, Thou savest me from violence." Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you have violence going on, I tell you what, that is like a pretty big storm, isn't it? That's just a whole bunch of wind coming at you. But God says, He says in 2 Samuel 22:3, He says that He savest you from violence. He'll save you from violence. He'll save you from the winds. He'll get you through it. Amen? But we have to put our faith and trust in what He did and what He's going to do, because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Amen? Now, 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31. It says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him." Amen. My question is, do you trust God this morning? If you were to go through trials and tribulations this morning, can you confidently say that you put your trust and faith and trust in Him to get you through that? Because sometimes we can be of little faith. Amen. We can be of little faith. And we're going to be getting, and actually I was reading in a little bit of Mark today, Mark chapter 4. And it's really interesting. It got into the storms and the waves and the winds. And we'll be getting into that here in a little bit. Amen. Let's see here. offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Amen. Put your trust in Him. And Him alone should you put your trust in, because it is only Jesus Christ that will get you through the storms of life. Psalms chapter 5 verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defeatest them. Defendest them. Because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. I think a lot of times when we go through the storms of life, and when we see the winds, they get boisterous, and we see all these things just shaking us up and stuff like that. And I think the first thing we need to do is pull over to the slow lane and go slow. Okay? The second thing is if we were to go fast or the normal speed, well, let's put it this way. If I would have gone the normal speed when that boisterous wind was hitting, I would have swerved and probably gotten into an accident. And that would have delayed the whole process. It's the same thing in our walk. If we go the normal speed limit when we've got storms and these winds coming against us, it's going to toss us to and fro, and could probably toss us into the next lane, and we can end up in an accident with somebody. And that will delay, and that's going to cause a whole lot of delays. Amen? But when we pull over to the slow lane and go slower, you know, so we can stay our course, we just have to give God praise. Even though we get anxious. Sometimes we get anxious. Because we get anxious, we get impatient, because sometimes we have a time that we need to meet. And I'm going to tell you something is that we have to realize that we have to depend on God. Okay? We have to depend on God's timing. Because God's timing of things is perfect. If we would have depend on our own timing, that's just disastrous. And so the Bible says that we're not to lean on our own understanding. Okay, let me look that up here real quick. I got to get into my Bible app here. Here we go. Lean not. Let me see here. Lean not. Here you go. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And sometimes we have to understand is that we need to... When God tells us that we need to get into the slow lane and slow ourselves, He's saying He wants us to do that because number one, because I think it'll teach us on how to trust Him more, and number two, it's to show that we can't depend on our own understanding. We need to lean on His understanding of things. It doesn't say to understand His understanding. It says we're not to lean on our own understanding, because our understanding is finite. It's limited. But if God tells you to do something, you just have to trust that what He's telling you, He's doing it for your protection, and He's doing that to make sure that nothing bad happens to you or anybody else around you. Amen. So sometimes when we're going along in our walk, sometimes we just have to kind of pull over, take a step back, and sometimes and just go at a little bit more of a slower pace. Because if we don't, we're going to be putting ourselves at risk for an accident or for a fall. And I'm going to tell you something. If we fall and we start to be tossed to and fro, other people around you can be affected by that, and they could trip over you. So it won't end up just being you. It'd be you and maybe a few other people that are behind you and other brothers and sisters around you that if you fall and they stumble over you, but now you got a whole handful of you that just fell, which kind of delays the race a little bit. Then you have to get back up. You have to stay your course. And you have to continue on. Okay? Now, yes, we are to run our race. Now, when you run a race, okay, you run, right? And of course, you don't want to go, you know. Of course, you know, you shouldn't go slow. You need to go fast, right? But when you run a race, okay, when you do track and field, okay, you have a course that you have to go on, don't you? Okay, you have a lane, and there are people beside you that have their own lane. And you're not to go and just go to and fro in other people's lanes. Because if you do, you're going to mess them up. But if you stay in your own lane and you run with endurance, okay, and you endure... Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, you'll get to the finish line. But the key word there is to endure. And of course, too, you know, when we have trials and tribulations, yeah, they're going to slow us up a bit. Probably not a bad thing, because I think a lot of us might need that. For such fast-paced people, I think we just need to just take time and rest at the feet of Jesus. Just like Mary. Okay? Let's see here. Where is it? I've got to find this verse here real quick. Let's put feet. And I'm just going to scroll down here. I'm using the Bible software, so just sort of bear with me. Let's see here. Can't find it. I can't find it. It's really ironic. I'm trying to find a verse and I can't find it. Okay, well, when you take a look at Mary and Martha. Okay, Martha was worried about, you know, I'm going to type in Martha here. Okay, let me type in Martha. Here we go, I found it. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 41. Luke 10, 41. Here's an example. Okay, here's an example. Luke chapter 10. Okay, and let's go to, let's start in verse 38. And it says, "Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Okay? But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. So listen, sometimes I think we get so wrapped up in serving, and we start going fast. And when the storms of life hit, I think we have a tendency just to continue going fast. And really what I think the Lord wants is that he wants us to kind of pull over, slow down a little bit, and just sit at his feet and rest. Amen? Just need to sit at his feet and rest. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we need that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with serving. As a matter of fact, we should serve the Lord. We should go out and win souls to Christ. But sometimes I think we just need to just take time and sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to what he tells us. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you something. If we can't sit and listen, you know, what Jesus says, you know, how will we ever learn? Sometimes it's best that we just sit and listen to what he says and learn from him. That way we have that rest, and then when we get done, we get back up and we continue on. Amen? So, I want us, let's see here. Let's go back to some trust verses. Trusting in the Lord. Are you trusting in the Lord this morning? Because trust, we need to trust in him. Amen. Psalms 9:10, it says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Psalms 11:1, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? Psalm 16:1, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Psalms 18:2, it says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Are you putting your trust today on the rock? Because I'm going to tell you something. When the storms of life come, okay, when the winds come against you, okay, you need to put yourself on a firm foundation. Amen. Let's see here. Let's see, when the winds came. Okay, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 26. Okay. We're actually not going to start in verse 26. Let's We'll start in verse 24. It says this: "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Okay, this is the rock. Where is your life founded upon? Is it upon the rock, which is the Word of God, or is it upon the sand? Amen? Because I'm going to tell you something. If your house is built on sand, when that wind comes, your house is going to go to and fro. And by the way, eventually it's going to collapse. You know why? Because your house is built on sand. But if your house is built on a rock, yeah, sure, the winds are going to beat up against it. Okay? But it's not going to fall. It's going to stand because you have a rock. You have the rock as your foundation. The rock. Okay? And I don't mean, what's his name? I don't know that actor's name, but... not him, not the actor, okay? I'm not talking about the actor, I'm not talking about Hollywood, I'm talking about the rock. We're talking about Jesus Christ. Is your house founded upon that rock? Amen? Because that your house needs to be on that rock for it to stand. Let's continue on. Be trust. All right. Here we go. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Okay? Psalm 118:8. Okay? Now, when the Lord tells you that you need to kind of slow yourself a bit and trust in Him, then you need to slow yourself a bit and you need to rest and rely on Him. Because if you don't, you're going to end up into an accident with either a non-believer or with fellow believers. Amen. So you have to stay your course. Okay. Now, the point I'm trying to make with this is this. Okay. And this is much easier said than done. No matter how strong the winds get and no matter how big the storm is. Okay. You need to endure it, okay? You need to stand. You need to stand firm. Because if you're not standing firm, okay, just like what we read, you're going to get tossed to and fro by the doctrines of men. Okay? When the storms of life, and when the winds beat, you need to stand, and you need to stand firm. Okay, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians. We're going back to Ephesians again. Ephesians chapter 6. Okay, this is talking about spiritual warfare. And I'm going to tell you something. That is part of the wind and the rains. Okay. I apologize for that. My phone went crazy. I'm just going to go ahead and just shut it off here real quick. But turn with me to Ephesians 6. Okay? Ephesians chapter 6. And, let's see here. Here we go. We'll start in verse 10. Alright, yeah, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You know what the wiles of the devil are? It's deception. But the wiles of the devil are winds that come against you. Yeah, sure. The winds, the boisterous winds will come against you. And when they do... yeah, it's going to slow you down a bit. But if when the storms of life and when the winds start coming against you to slow you down, don't speed up. Slow yourself. Now, when I say that, don't go faster. Okay? What you need to do is, go slower. But you need to stand. The Bible says you need to stand, doing all you can to stand. Okay? It doesn't say fight. It says stand. Okay? So, when the storms of life come, you need to slow down, trust God that He's got your best interest in mind, and you need to endure those winds and those storms as a good soldier in Christ by enduring through it. And I'll tell you something, God will bring you through those storms. He will bring you through those winds, those high winds that want to come against you. Because I'm going to tell you something, when you speed up, if you're in a van carrying a whole bunch of people, and you got high winds coming against your van, if you speed up, okay, that wind might toss you into the next lane, which will cause you to be in an accident. But if you slowed yourself and put your faith and trust in God that He's got your best interest as well as your safety in mind, regardless of the time and how late you will be, you got to remember, it is not on our timing. Everything is done on and by God's timing. Because God's timing, God is not late, God is not early, God is always on time. God is always on time. And He wants to make sure, you gotta understand and make sure that God does have your best interest in mind. Okay, sometimes, and I'm going to tell you something, that's why we go through these storms of life. That's why we go through these winds. Because God is trying to teach us something. Amen? So, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to what? Stand. Stand and endure. That's how you'll get through it. Okay? When I was making my rounds, when that wind was coming against my van, I was getting impatient. And I was wanting these winds to stop. I was wanting those winds to stop. I was getting flustered. I was getting impatient. Because I knew I was going to be late. But little did I know until that next day, okay, yesterday, God revealed to me and showed me that He was trying to teach me something. That we needed some, that, and what He taught me was that, when you have winds like that, you just need to trust that God has your best interest in mind. Amen? That you just have to trust that God has your best interest. Even if it means you have to slow down a bit. Because God will get you God will get you to point A and point B. Okay? Now, God wants you to be safe. If you endanger yourself and you put yourself out there to where you're going to be on your deathbed, well, you can't really preach the gospel if you're dead, right? So, God cares about your safety. He cares about your spiritual safety. I'll give you an example. Okay, let's continue reading. Okay, it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having all done to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Okay, now let me tell you something. God cares about your safety. Okay, if he didn't care about your safety, why did he then instruct you to put on the armor of God? Do you know that the armor is what protects you in battle? See, God cares about your protection. Okay? I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes that protection may need you to slow down a bit and rest in the Lord and trust in him. Just like I had to on Sunday. Oh, not Sunday, yeah, not on Saturday. Okay? And we have to trust that when God has his best interest in mind, that he wants us to be safe. You know, there are certain things that we have to have, we have to have wisdom about. When you're driving down, if there is a tornado, what are you going to do? Are you going to foolishly just drive out there and go on the road with you know, when you got a F5 twister going in the air? Or are you going to go and take cover? You see, God gave us a mind, and we need to use it. Let's not be foolish in our decision making. Okay? If you're driving along and there's big, heavy winds, don't go the speed limit. Slow down. Why do you think when you take driver's ed, why do you think that you're supposed to adjust your driving according to the conditions? It's the same thing spiritually, you know. And I'm not saying that we should focus on our circumstances, but our circumstances, depending on the circumstance, may require us at what pace we need to go. Because if we don't, we're going to get off course. You know what gets off? What gets us off course? False teaching. False doctrine. Storms of life, the fiery darts that the devil throws at us, it gets us off course. And I'm going to tell you something. If you get off course, you know what the good news is? The good news is you can just get right back on course again. But the choice is up to you. Okay, you could choose to quit. Which, okay, if you got knocked off course, that doesn't mean you're out. That just means you need to get back on course again. So if you're off course, why quit? Winners never quit. And guess what? We are on the winning side, aren't we? We need to endure, okay? We need to endure. With that said, let's take a look at that, okay? That's interesting. When you type endure, the word endure is found 29 times in your King James Bible. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Stop right there, folks. That verse, what does it say? Does it say, thou therefore speed up hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? No. says to endure. Okay? Sometimes we may have to slow down a little bit. Sometimes we may have to be at a dead stop. But if we're at a dead stop, then you need to stand firm with your feet upon that rock and endure the winds that come at you. The Bible says to endure. Okay? To endure. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 10. And therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap itching themselves teachers, having itching ears. Okay? Endure. Okay? These teachers with itching ears don't endure. You know what they are? Those teachers will go faster than anybody else on the freeway. And you know what they do? They put themselves and they put everybody else that follow them at risk. Are you one of those that do that? Are you one of those that just go the speed limit regardless, and you're putting yourself and everybody else at risk when you got winds coming at you? Listen, folks. The Bible says that you need to endure. Okay? You need to endure. Hi. Look at Kitty. I'm sorry to interrupt, but there's Kitty. Yeah, Kitty kind of wanted to sneak by. He wanted to just stop in and say hello to everybody. Now I'm putting him down. Anyways, but here's the thing. The Bible says to endure. And when you have circumstances, when you've got circumstances that warrant to slow down a little bit, are you one of those that just are reckless and driving the speed limit, if not faster, to get to your destination faster, thinking that you're wise? Ooh, okay. Stop right there. People who go through circumstances that require you to slow down. Okay, let's take the road for example. Let's go back to last Saturday. Let's say you're driving a truck or a van like I was. And you were going the speed limit, if not faster, when you've got a 30 mile an hour wind coming against your van. And when you know it's rocking and you have to get to your destination. Do you think it's really wise to be going faster than the speed limit when you got a whole bunch of wind knocking against your van? Probably not. You know why? Because you're going to get yourself and someone else hurt. Professing themselves wise, they became fools. Folks, let's not... And by the way, that same principle applies spiritually to your walk. If there's circumstances that basically cause you to slow down, don't you think maybe it's probably a good thing that you do slow down? And trusting God that He's got your best interest in mind? Because, I mean, if you're just going to floor it in some pretty harsh circumstances, you're gonna hurt yourself and then everybody else that follow you. And it's just going to be a mess. Amen? Bible says to endure. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Endure afflictions. See, that's part of that wind, that boisterous wind that comes against you. Okay? Afflictions can be that. And I'm talking like afflictions from the enemy. If you fall down and get off track, you know what you do? You pray, you repent of your sin, you get back up, you get on track, and you keep going. I'm going to tell you something. The devil's going to try to throw you off, and if he does, you just get right back on track, and you get back on course, and you start getting on. You start continuing forward. Continuing forward, pressing towards the mark. Think about that. We'll get to that in a second, okay? James chapter 5, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for his conscience toward God endure grief, suffering, and wrongfully. Amen. Matthew 24:13, Jesus says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Endure. Press toward the mark. My cat's making a big old mess over there. I don't know why. Anyways, endure. Pressing towards the mark. Amen. Mark 4:17, and have no root in themselves, so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. That's like, they endure for a short time, but once they start getting persecuted because they have no root, no patience, they get fearful, they start hitting the gas. Guess what happens? Right off course. And then they say, oh, we don't want to do that again. They just don't want to do that course again. So they chicken out, they wimp out, they quit. Let's see here. Take a look. Here we go. Psalms 9:7. Okay, but the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. Okay? His seat shall endure forever. Okay? Now, the Lord endures forever. If you're born again and spirit-filled and you have the Lord Jesus Christ residing in your hearts, it's the Lord who's enduring. And by the way, if the Lord can endure forever, you can also endure. You know why? Because we're overcomers in Christ Jesus. We can endure to the end. We can. You know why? Because it's the Lord who's given us the strength and grace to endure. You know why? Because he endures forever. Amen. I just forgot where I was going to go to next. I'll just continue on and it'll come back to me. Psalm 102:12, but thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Okay. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? Okay, so, I think, I can't think of anything else. Let's see here. Let's go to... Oh, Lord, I need your help, Lord. I don't know what to say next. Okay, let's go to Mark. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. I don't think I've done that yet. Mark chapter 4. Okay, Jesus rebukes the wind. Okay. Verse 35. In the same day the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Okay. Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side. He didn't say, let's think about going over the other side, or it's not going to happen. No, he said, let us pass over to the other side. That's assurance, okay? He said, let's pass over to the other side. Now, when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou now that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, as said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? You know why the wind and the sea obey him? It's because Jesus Christ is God. Okay? Now, Jesus was trying to teach these disciples a lesson about trusting in him. Why? Because Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. Because there's someone I got, and basically find out there's someone that he has to go see. And yet the disciples were taking a look at the storms, and they were getting rattled and shaken. Okay? Because Jesus says that ye have no faith. Jesus was trying to teach the disciples to trust in him, that they're going to get over to the other side, even if it meant that time was going to get delayed a little bit. And obviously when storms come, it's going to delay you a little bit. It will. But we see that Jesus Christ had the best interest in mind for his disciples. It was training ground for them to learn how to trust in him, the trust that he had their best interest in mind, the trust to have them trust that God was in control. Listen, folks. Listen, when the winds and storms come, okay, will it slow you down? Possibly yes. But understand, it's probably for a good reason. Okay? When you're going fast, okay, you're not going to learn a whole lot from going fast. But when the storms of life come, they will slow you down. If they slow you down, praise God for it, because then you'll be able to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to what he says. You know why? Because you'll learn better if you would sit at his feet and listen with your ears and learn from him versus just going the speed limit and not and faster than that. Sit and listen to what he says. Because when you sit and listen to what he says, you'll take in and you'll learn a lot more than if you were going fast. There's a reason as to why God had allowed all those winds, because God's trying to teach you something. Amen. And by the way, don't get puffed up with pride thinking that you don't need to learn anything from Him. Okay? Sometimes we need to take a step back. We need to slow ourselves and just sit and listen. If you take a look in school, what happens when the teacher is teaching? Are the students going around running around like crazy? Or are students sitting in their desk watching the teacher and learning from the teacher? Sometimes we all just need to stand firm and take a breather and just wait on the Lord. Wait on His perfect timing. Amen. Because God's timing is perfect. God's timing is everything. And I'm going to tell you something. God will not fail you. He will not. Amen. I was going to go somewhere and I can't remember where I was going to go. Lord, where were you going to take me again, Lord? I don't remember. I can't remember. I can't remember where the Lord was going to take me. Okay. I think, yeah. So, anyways, I apologize. I really wasn't as prepared as I thought I was going to be, and for that I do apologize, but I hope that everything that I said made sense, okay? So, just a kind of quick kind of overview, okay? Number one, when the winds come and the storms hit, okay, and when it slows you down, get into the right lane. Continue going. But it might slow you down a bit. But continue going. Continue on your course. Do not give up. Praise God and thank Him. If those circumstances slow you down, you praise and thank Him for it. And, you know, and ask the Lord. Just ask the Lord that you don't understand why. And just ask Him to show you why. Just ask Him to show you why it is that it is. Ask Him, you know, learn from Him. In other words, learn from your master. Learn from your teacher. You have one rabbi. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one rabbi. He's the one teacher. He is the master. Amen. And most importantly, like I've expressed many times, is to put your trust that He's got your best interest in mind. See, when God allows things in your life to happen, He's not doing it to pick on you. He's doing it for a reason. Okay? God has His reasons. We may not understand it. But the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. Okay? Trust God. Today, will you trust God and what He's doing for you in your life? Will you trust Him that even though the circumstances might slow you down a little bit, will you trust that God has your best interest in mind? Amen? Will you trust Him today? Listen, you guys, I love you. And I just want to say that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, Okay? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can know for sure today that He is your Savior. Okay? You can know for sure today that if you were to die, you'll go to heaven. Okay? And it's very simple. Okay? All you have to do is go before the Lord with a sincere heart. Admit that you are a sinner. Repent of your sins. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Ask Him to cleanse you and to wash you. Ask Him into your heart and life. Ask Him to be your Lord and Savior, your personal Lord and Savior. And ask Him to fill you with His Spirit. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who He says He is, and that God raised Him from the dead on the third day, you'll be saved. Amen. And listen, I don't want you guys taking my word for things. I know I probably stumbled around a lot, and I probably didn't make a whole lot of sense. And I'm hoping I did. But if only one person gets something out of this, then praise the Lord. Amen. I don't want you taking my word for things, okay? I want you to take what I say and you match it with this Bible. Okay? And if what I say does not match with what this Bible says, then let God be true and every man a liar. And if I'm wrong, then I ask that the Lord will chasten and correct me more and show me where I'm wrong. And I'm going to tell you something. One of these days, I will have to stand before God and give an account to everything that I said and did. Okay? But if I'm right, I ask that He will show you what I'm talking to you about. Amen? There's Cat. I think he's kind of sneaking up on me a little bit. But listen, I just want to just take some time here and just go through a verse or two of invitation. If the Lord is dealing with you on something, specifically with something like this, then this will be a time to go and get it right with the Lord. Amen. So with that said, we'll go ahead and do a couple verses of invitation. Okay? And then after that, we'll close. Trust and obey. Will you trust the Lord today? Amen. This morning, will you put your faith and trust that He has got your best interest in mind? Amen. Listen, you guys, I love you. I appreciate you just kind of bearing with me with my folly a little bit. I know this. I wasn't as prepared, and I apologize for that. It's been pretty hectic. So, but I thank God that I have time to do my videos and stuff like that. Listen, I love you guys. I don't want to say tomorrow because I don't know how my schedule's been kind of hectic, but on the next Pastor Brennan Live, we're going to be getting into we're still continuing our Ten Commandments series. So I want you guys to stay tuned for that. Okay? I can't remember where we left off on that. I have to go back and look. But stay tuned for that. Please keep me in prayer. Please keep these videos in prayer. Please keep my ministry in prayers. Please keep our Facebook, YouTube, and Sermon Audio ministry in prayer. Let's see here. I think that's going to be about it. Listen, guys, I love you. You guys have a great day, a great week, and we will see you next time. All right? I love you guys. God bless you. See you. Bye.